Good morning. Come on in, y'all. We are going to kick off Movement Month. So I just wanted to tell y'all this morning, so did not want to work out. I just got to be brutally honest. It was one of those days I woke up, I was tired, I had a headache. I had like a plenty of excuses not to work out. And I'll be real honest, the main reason why I did it today, I always will go for my walks. I'm going to kick off with a few concepts and then I'm going to teach you something today. But one thing that's very true about me is for so long now, I have done a daily walk, just like something easy. I tie it to something I really enjoy. That's why it's so easy for me to go do it. But it's almost like I just normally do at least 15 to 30 minutes of a walk every day. I don't necessarily count that as my workout anymore. So that is not to say it's not a workout. There are days that it can count if I want to. It's more for me to stay on track with other athletic goals I have now. I need to track the days that I show up for like a back and a chest workout that I for fuck sure did not want to do today. Like, I really didn't want to do it. I had 1,000 things I wanted to do this morning. I have just some exciting projects I'm working on right now for y'all. And when I'm first wake up in the morning, it is easy for me to want to just work. Like I am fired up. My brain's fired up. Everything's fired up. So anyway, this morning I was just like, fuck me. I got to work out. And the only reason I did was because I was like, it's Movement Month. What's it going to, like, you got a call at 9 o'clock to talk about movement and you're going to ding dong ditch. That was literally my motivation. So the lesson here for all of you is don't discount any type of motivation. I think a lot of times we think when it comes to anything, I don't care if we're talking about making a 24-hour plan, showing up for your workout, whatever it is. We think that motivation feels good. Motivation doesn't always feel good. Motivation is about something that you can tell yourself or something external that you can think about that compels you to do something. So I want you to think about that. I think a lot of you are waiting to feel good before you do stuff. Stop. You can't wait to feel good in order to do things that long-term are going to be good for you. Especially because most of us, when we're trying to lose weight, it's really hard for us to wait until we feel good because we are facing our diet trauma from the past. We are facing our fears. We're facing our doubts. In order to take a step forward, you're having to face a lot of uncomfortable thoughts and fears and things you've always told yourself. Well, you've got two options. You can sit back and do nothing to lose weight and do nothing to move your body, and you can do all the mental work around that. That's the long way to losing weight. And it works. Sometimes we've got to clear some of these decks. For some of us, we have severe traumas around losing weight. We have like especially if you've experienced sexual traumas and stuff. There is some cleanup work sometimes that must get done before we take the actions. But I would say 90% of us are needing to take option two, which is I'm going to start doing the things even when I don't feel like it, because I know it's all this smoke and mirror shit that I'm going to be working on with the coaches inside No BS. I'm going to be working on all that while I quit eating and stuffing my face, while I make my 24-hour plans, while I pay attention to my hunger cues, while I go on a walk. So I want you to really think about it. It's like for most of us, we have to see that feeling like it may take a while before you feel like it, because you've got to overcome fears and anxieties that are made up in our heads. Like when you are stuck in the land of like, but I'm always failed, but you just don't understand, Corinne. I've done my 50,000 diets and none of them worked. I've been overweight most of my life. I'm like, bitch, I got you. Well, that was my fucking story forever. My story was, I've been overweight all my life. It's in my genes. Nobody supports me. Nobody gives a shit. People like my family food pushes food on me. We're big celebrators with food. My mama didn't teach me how to cook. I don't know how to cook. What do you mean? I don't even know how to peel an orange. Like, I had all of it. On top of, I'd been overweight for so long and I'd never lost all my weight. I didn't know what it was like to be thin, every bit of it. You ain't got nothing on me. Nothing. I just didn't wait to feel good. I just decided the only way I was ever going to really feel good was to get to work on some shit. And I need all of you to be thinking about this. Is your goal to feel better? If it is, you got to do better for yourself while you figure out all of these thoughts. Like, I have failed every single time in the past. We got to work on that. Module 4, no BS. Future self module, rewrite that damn diet past. No success story was successful in keeping their weight off until no BS. I had never been a success story until the last time I tried and figured it out. That you holding yourself to the requirement of like, yeah, but in order to do it this time, I will have needed to have past evidence that I can do it and keep it off. Think about how dumb that sounds. It's literally dumb. It's impossible. You wouldn't need to do it this time if for that. But we hold ourselves to a standard that that's what's supposed to have happened. The only way I can move forward is if I'd been successful in the past. No, it can't happen that way. The only way to move forward is to realize success is in front of me. It ain't behind me. So it's movement month. I'm going to make a few announcements, got some exciting ones. I'm already way off script, have my notes. I hadn't talked about none of that shit yet. I got bonus notes in the phone that I wanted to cover this morning. So here we go. Let me get everything turned on. By the way, last month was amazing. We went through no BS. We did the live viewing. 50% of the people that were coming are now not coming to the Wednesday call. Here's what I need all y'all to do. You need to shake the cages of your accountability groups. Where are your partners? Now, if they're at work or doing something, we got a legit thing. But for the last 4 weeks, 500 to 600 more of you somehow had time at 9 a.m. in the morning. 8:30. We started early and went longer. And now half of y'all don't. I don't care if you plan to exercise or not this month. You need to be here because I'm always going to be talking about shit that everybody needs to hear no matter what. So you text them hoes. You go to that Facebook group and go like, where is everybody? If you're on Facebook, you're in the wrong damn place right now. Seriously. Anybody that's on Facebook while I'm live on a Q&A, you need to like get over here. You're going to learn more here than you're going to learn surfing our group. And them hoes ain't going nowhere. They are going nowhere. Trust me. All right. First thing I want to do is I want to announce the winners of last month for the April challenge. So let's just do that because I know everybody's dying. The first thing is we had over 2,000 people who finished the survey for All in April. Now, I know many of you also finished No BS. If you finished No BS, you didn't do the survey. That's great. That's fine. Congratulations to everybody who did the work, because the people who were doing the work are also the people who were posting in that damn Facebook group saying, oh my God, this is the month I got off my stall. Oh my God, this is the month I finally got off my ass. I decided to listen to these videos instead of sitting there waiting for all that, you know, wonderful motivation to come rain down on my head. They got busy. And then once they got busy, guess what? It was easier to be motivated to keep going. It's really hard to motivate when you're doing nothing. So you got to start with something. Everybody got to start with something. So here are the people, the 10 of you who won the No BS prize boxes. Kimberly Davis, Kelly Renaud, Andrea Ibera, Natalie Rossi. Oh my God, my glasses are such a mess, even though I just cleaned them. Betsy Gast, Tracy Twa, Michelle Katz, Jennifer Stevens, Aubrey Lara, and Mary Vauders. You have all won No BS prize box, which is always full of delicious swag. I'm just going to tell you, we picked some good shit for y'all. And then a huge congratulations to our very own Holly Mangum. She won 4 coaching sessions with me. My team will be reaching out to everybody and getting everything all scheduled. So, you know, don't worry. We're going to contact you if you're not on the live calls. But everybody needs to congratulate Holly. She was the one who won. All right. Now, this month is the Move Your Body Challenge. I want to say this is, if you can go over to nobswomen.com, you will be able to find the challenge homepage. And on there is everything you're going to need for this month's challenge. It's a good one. And I specifically designed this because I want more women moving, not for weight loss. I was coaching someone in the Facebook group the other day whose grandson came over to her house. And I think she was in her 60s. And she was either in her 60s or early 70s. And she said that in the past, the only reason why she's ever exercised was to try to lose weight. And she's like, that's just not motivating. I don't want to do that. I feel like in no BS, you shouldn't have to exercise, which is true. I don't teach exercise as a tool to lose weight. It's just not. The best tool to lose weight is learn how to quit putting that damn hand in your mouth. That's your number one tool. And that's all of the no BS course is like lesson after lesson over ways to get you to stop putting your hand in your mouth with a fork or a spoon. So, but exercise, I think, plays a vital role in weight loss this way. For a lot of us, when you are moving, because it generates really good hormones in your body, like it's going to release dopamine, it's going to release a lot of the hormones that really help us feel a little better, be a little happier. Guess what happens on the urge side? People who move regularly very often say it's easier for them when they have an urge to say no, because they have just a little bit less of adrenaline and cortisol in their body. So exercise lowers adrenaline and cortisol. It also raises some of the good hormones. So I want you to think about, like when I was talking to this person, I said, she was talking about how she just felt terrible because she couldn't play with her grandkid. It was wearing her out. She didn't want to be that kind of grandma. And so she was like stuck with, but I just don't want to exercise to lose weight. I don't think I should have to. And I was like, then that's not a reason why. You need to come up with your, like you just got through typing some reasons why it would be great for you to start moving, to build up some stamina so that when your grandkid comes over, you can keep up with him. When you need to get up and down and out of the floor to play, you can do that. To be able to be here longer. It's not a guarantee we're all going to be here long on the earth, but you start stacking some odds in your favor for sure. So for all of you, when it comes to this month, I want you to be thinking about your whys. Like, what is important to you about it? For some of us, it is aesthetics. For me, like, trust me, I lift in all the time because I just really enjoy calluses on my hands. I have the biggest man hands of all time. There's an aesthetic component. I like my body looks so much better lifting weights than it does when I don't. I enjoy that. That I think of it as this is a gift I give myself. I don't do it because my body's horrible. I was listening to a Peloton class this morning. I actually did a 15-minute walk after my back and chest, and I love Jess Sims. Jess Sims is one of the more motivational. I think all the Peloton people are great, but I've got a few that are really my favorites, and Jess Sims is one of them. And she does a lot of walks, and she just, I don't know, the girl just has a vibe that like it won't quit. And so she was talking about how, in fact, I wrote it down. Well, I typed it into my phone. She said, wait a minute, that's the wrong one. How can you challenge and change your body while loving it at the same time? Because she was talking about how, you know, exercise isn't just, oops, hang on, some podcast is starting. There we go. She was talking about how so often we get hung up in this black and white thinking of, I need to exercise so I can change my body because I don't like it. Or I got to like not exercise and just try to love my body. Like, we can't do them together. And I'm like, what if she just did and? It's like, there are parts of my body that I want to change, and I want to change it because I love myself enough to try. I love myself enough to give myself opportunities to look different. I love myself enough because I want to give myself the gift of strength. I just want to see what I'm made of. Like, we get to think about things in so many different ways. And I think we miss out on that when we're trying to exercise. So sometimes exercise is for the aesthetics. Sometimes it's for the strength. And I will say, when it comes to lifting weights, I love being strong. I think it has a lot to do with when I was a kid, being bullied, not being allowed to play sports, not being allowed to play in PE because of my size. I think that I don't share this very often, but at 16, there was two traumatic things that happened. One was I was robbed at knife point at a gas station. I was sitting in the car and a guy got in the car with me, put a knife, like, he didn't stab me, but he put a knife in my side and like threatened to, and stole my Liz, like, let me date this, stole my Liz Claiborne purse that had my Clinique lipstick in it. That was my favorite. And that's like in my ID. That's all he got. I was like, you are robbing a broke ass 16-year-old. And I had worked so, I'd waited so many tables to own that Liz Claiborne purse. I was so devastated. I was devastated for a lot of reasons, but like, I was definitely devastated over that. But oh my God, I slept with my mom for a year after that. I could not sleep. I felt so victimized. I went through therapy because of it. It was terrifying. And then not long after that, when I was 17, I was either 17 or 18. It might have been the summer of my 18th, after I turned 18. A guy cornered me as I was leaving a restaurant that I was working at. And he took my keys. He tried to force me in a car. I think he was going to probably sexually abuse me. I was able to get away. The restaurant did fire him and stuff. But like, two big traumatic events that really signaled to me, I don't know how to take care of myself. Like, someone can hurt me at any moment. And when I started lifting weights, I started lifting with my best friend at the time. Her name was Lisa Anderson. Still love Lisa to death to this day. We just don't get to talk very much anymore. We live in different parts of town. And I remember telling her one day, I want to look like the kind of chick that walks down the street, and if somebody wants to hurt her, like take her purse or whatever, they're like, oh yeah, not that one. Like, moving on. I want to like not only look like I can take care of myself, but I love being able to outlift a lot of dudes at the gym. Very often I'm lifting heavier than dudes. That like literally turns me on. Right now I could outlift Chris. Wait, of course, Chris don't lift the weights, but I could outlift him right now if I wanted to. I just love it. And so I want you to think about how I'm talking about it. I want you to think about Corinne literally was a person who the PE teacher said, no one's going to pick you. I don't want to make them pick you. So while the kids play, you sit over here on the bleachers. I had never moved a day in my life. The only times I had ever exercised after high school, I was just like most of you. It was punishing. It was as if I was punishing myself for being overweight. I never tried to fall in love with it. I exercised to be able to eat more because of Weight Watchers and points. My relationship with it was like devastatingly broken. And it wasn't until I decided to lose weight that when I couldn't play with Logan, my motivation changed. And I want to talk about this, and I don't even know if I'm going to get that. I will get to my 4 points I crafted for y'all, but I just feel like this is important as we kick off Movement Month. When it came to Logan, I wanted to be able to play with him. It was bone crushing to me because I could not play with him. And I had swore I would never be a parent that couldn't do that. And so for me, when I started, it was going to be, I'm going to take a 15-minute walk each day. I feel like that's what every human can do. And let me tell you, motivation was not me bounding out the next day thinking, oh boy, I get to go walking. Oh boy, I can't wait to do this. motivation felt like this. This won't be good enough. You shouldn't have to start this low. You'll never lose weight doing this. Everybody's going to look at you at the gym. Because I had to go to the gym to do a 15-minute walk. It was during a shitty time of year. Wasn't going outside. My baby would not, like, I was not the woman that had a baby that would get in a stroller. If we went out, I had to carry his ass on top of a diaper bag and stuff. So I got to where we went nowhere because it was too exhausting for me. That's how I got so depressed that first year with Logan, because we couldn't go anywhere. He always wanted to be held. He cried all the way to someplace. So we holed up in our little condo day in and day out for me to just eat and feel sorry for myself. And that was my life before I started with those little 15-minute walks. And the motivation was not feeling amazing. I was not excited. Motivation felt like doubt. It felt scary. It felt judged. It felt like it wouldn't work. It felt hopeless. All of that was coming for along for the ride. And there was this little part of me that was like, well, we got to start someplace. There was this tiny ounce of me that was like, I get all of that. But fuck, what are we going to do? Just keep sitting here and waiting for things to change? I've waited long enough. Like, change just ain't coming. And I think a lot of you are in that boat. Change ain't coming. You got to go out and change. And that's how it's going to happen. And so I know, like, when I wrote this movement month, when we pulled all this together, I wanted to give everyone that baseline. This month is about the baseline, figuring out what yours is, where you want to be, what kind of relationship with movement do you want, and how can you break every rule that you have set up for yourself? So many of you, your exercise rules are awful. They don't take in consideration what your body feels like for the day. They don't include things like stretching. Like, some of y'all won't count stretching. You won't count doing yard work, and you don't count housework. You don't count them. Like, anything that gets your ass moving around, like, just be thinking about, like, there's so many studies right now around movement that just getting up in 5 to 10 minute bursts throughout the day to go clean out that drawer you keep swearing up and down you're going to do and that you don't do. But just the literally standing there and doing it is better than you sitting on the couch being like, I'm a fucking loser. I can't even clean out a drawer. Or like, I need to go to the gym. No, I don't have 30 minutes. We have to think bigger. So I want y'all thinking this month about, what is my new relationship with exercise going to be? What is it that I want out of movement? Why am I even doing it to begin with? And then for those of you who are in wheelchairs and who have broken legs and like everything in between that's got cancer, you got to redefine movement. There were several times throughout my maintenance phase. And this is like somebody who exercises a lot. When they're going to take exercise away for a few weeks, the longest I had to go was, I think it was 8 or 10 weeks, something like that, where I was not allowed to do any kind of exercise. It's scary because you like, it's not that you can't keep your weight off if you're not exercising. It's that in our history, our brain thinks, oh, the times we weren't exercising, we gained weight. It wasn't because we took the exercise away. I promise most of you, you pity ate yourself to death because you couldn't exercise. You didn't tune your eating in. When I had those long surgeries, I counted little things as exercise. So like sometimes I had rehab work. That was exercise. I remember one surgery was going to be like, it was when I had my eyes done. I had 2 weeks. I wasn't allowed to do shit because they did, like, the last thing you want when you have eye surgery is to be doing some shit that could cause blindness. And I was like, I'm not interested in blindness. So here's what I'm going to do. Every day I made an appointment on my calendar that was called exercise. And that is when I sat in bed and I actually meditated, did deep breathing. If I was allowed to stretch, I did some stretching. And I was like, and that is the exercise. My brain trained to keep the appointment, to keep the habit in front of me. Now, my brain would say like, it doesn't really count. It said all that. I'm like, okay, I get it. We think these things, but here's what we're doing. Some of y'all just need to take charge of your shitty brain. It's like, yes, of course, you're saying all these things. But that doesn't mean I have to follow commands. Just because your brain says a bunch of shit don't mean you got to do a bunch of shit. And I always, and y'all act like this, like, no, it's not true. Oh my God, my brain says, if I make it 24 hours, let anyone count. How many times you go into the grocery store or you go into the post office or something, and some a-hole is in front of you and all you want to do is throat punch them. You want to shove them out of the way and go. Or you want to cuss somebody out because they cut you off and stuff. Or you're out to eat and somebody acts like a jerk and you want to say all the words and you don't. Every one of you've got self-control. Just because your brain is trying to tell you, hey, go punch that guy. Hey, shove him down. Hey, yell at them, cuss them out. Hey, beat their ass. If you ain't doing that, you've got self-control. That means my brain can say outlandish things. I actually can feel like I want to do it and stuff, but I don't. Ask yourself why. Why if I choose to do it there, why am I choosing to let my, like, this is what's so crazy. Like, ooh, I'd get in trouble. Ooh, these negative things would happen. It's like, okay, yeah. When your brain is over here trying to talk you out of moving, and your brain's trying to talk you out of stopping at enough, why not tell yourself, like, no, I don't want the shitty things that come along for the ride with that. We all have to think about these things. All right, so when you go to that challenge page, not only have I just, like, I really designed this to get people thinking about movement, gentle movement getting in. I also gave y'all, for those of you who are already an exercise enthusiast, or you have been exercise enthusiasts and you're like, I just lift like Corinne. I keep hearing about some of them old school workouts she used to give everybody, and they sounded really fun and like torture. I want to try. I always love how people demand the torture workouts. You got some of that too. So we have a little bit of thing, everything for everyone. If you are doing my workouts and you're doing the crazy treadmill things that I did, you are no better than the person who's going to get started. The one thing I want y'all to take away from this month is you finally have access to the movement from when I started to where I am. And I hope that means something to you. Because a lot of you see yourself in me in some ways. And I hope you really see that those early things, that was me one day. There was a version of Corinne sitting there who had to get started. Do not sit here and look at my after 16 years later and think you need to join me where I'm at now. It took me 16 years to get here. And I give you all this stuff so that it doesn't take you 16 years. But everybody has a day one. Everybody has a day 301. Everybody has a day 4001. I just want you to get started. All right. So let's talk about, and y'all can ask some questions. Let me pull up my Q&A. I haven't even done that yet. All right, there we go. Why movement matters? Number one reason. Movement matters because it helps you change the relationship with yourself from possibly a whole new angle. So I want you to just remember that when we just, like what I was saying earlier from Jess Sims, we're not here moving our body because we hate our body. I want you to ask yourself this really important question. How can I be interested in either changing my body or moving my body and talk to myself about those changes as if it's a gift? that it's coming from love. Y'all are real used to thinking about it from a punishment standpoint, but I want you to open your eyes up and just, and I mean, this may take some of you a week or two to write on it, to really figure it out, but don't stop. So how can you be wanting to change your body? Like, I'm losing it. I want to tone it up, whatever it is for you, and talk about it and what I'm going to do and what I'm choosing to do. Like, this is going to be a gift I give myself. I'm going to do this from love, and that would look like this, and I would think these things, and in the moments when my brain is like yelling at me and saying I'm not good enough and all this other stuff, and here's what I want my brain to know. Here's the other things I want my brain to know in those moments. I was actually talking to someone the other day, this interesting concept. I was interviewed for a podcast, and we were talking about future self. And so often, like for a lot of you, when you think about exercise, you envision this future self version of you. And when we think about future self, we only think about the end result and how great her life is and stuff. And I want all of you to be thinking about, and what's also hard for her? What does she still struggle with? Who are the people in her life that she's still struggling with? The things in life that she's still struggling with? Just because you put your weight loss to bed doesn't mean you put other struggles to bed. And I think that's an important thing for us to think about when it comes to movement. It's like, what do you think at the end, like what movement looks like for you, what that's going to be like in your life? And also, what are you still going to struggle with? Like for me personally, there's two big things I still struggle with. Wanting to do it every day, like not wanting to be distracted by other things. I love working. I just do. It's easy for me to want to blow off workouts for it. The other thing is I still struggle with my body image, because no matter how much I lift weights and no matter what I do, this is what we got. I'm not getting rid of loose skin. There's no weights that are going to get rid of loose, crepey skin. And Mother Nature is just marching on with the time. So I have to find other reasons. I have to know, like, my strength workouts, they improve my body, but we're probably about where we're going to be. So it's just important to think about those things so that you're not always pining and wishing and denying yourself, like, all right, knowing all of that now, how do I want to enjoy it? How do I want to make this a gift? How can I release, you know, trying to beat myself into an ideal that may never happen? So what is the new ideal? And I think that's what's been super powerful for me with exercise and body image, is I really had to accept. And I mean, I cried a lot about this. I got coached on this for a long time. Every week I cried. You would have thought I had like lost a person in my life when I gave up the dream of having the body that I wanted. But in my mind was beautiful. In my mind meant success. In my mind meant fitness. And to get it, one, it's going to require a lot more plastic surgery. Two, is an eating and workout lifestyle I am for sure not interested in. And three, no guarantees that it would even happen. But here's the thing. I know it wouldn't happen. I might could improve a little, but the cost is so high. And I cried because I was giving up that image. And then my coach said something super powerful to me one day. She said, you know, we've cried, we've talked about this, you're giving it up. She said, here's the part we want to explore now. Now you get to decide what your new ideal really is. Let's just take a break from mourning this, and let's just think about, now what do you really want? You have been living your life based on what you thought you wanted, based on society and stuff. But like, if you didn't give a shit about what anybody thought, if you didn't give a shit about anything, if you really just got to like, now when I say this is beautiful, everybody else believes it, what would that be? It was an amazing, amazing thing to do for myself. I wrote about it over and over again. I wrote about it so much that my actual ideal image for me has started changing. And that's how you change things over time. You don't write stuff, like you don't have like a dream of looking one way or whatever for your entire life and then write about it one day. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, I wrote about it. Why haven't I changed my opinion yet? Why do I still get caught up in this old thinking? Why does that always happen? I wrote about it a lot because it was important to me. I thought about it a lot. When I would think about like my old ideal, I'd be like, yeah, but I'm also thinking that this might be better. This might be what I actually want. If I never feared what people thought, this is what I would be doing. And the more I did that, I started noticing I thought about that more often because it felt better. Now, I still think about the other all the time. It pops into my head at least once a day. It's rare that I get ready, that my mind doesn't go to picking my body apart and wishing it would look different and all the other things. But I also, in those moments, tell myself, that's just what my brain does. So what are we going to do today to feel good about ourselves? What do I need to tell myself that feels good too? Doesn't just feel like shit. I tell you all of this because like when you're going to start exercising, you will feel stronger over time. You will feel better because of the hormones that it releases and the other hormones that it drops. But you may or may not get the body you want. That needs to be okay with you. We got to be in it for other reasons. And I need you to find them. All right. The next thing is movement does not equal exercise all the time. I talked about this earlier. Movement includes all the ways that you can possibly show up for your body. So sometimes that is meditation. Sometimes that's just taking a couple of laps around the house, even though that's moving. Like getting up, like a lot of times between calls, if I've got a minute or two, I don't just sit here and wait for my call to start, whatever. I actually get up. I walk the house a couple of times. I might go like hang a couple of pieces of clothes up and stuff. I try to just get that little movement in throughout the day. It all adds up. Do not discount like little movement things like that add up just as much as leaving two bites behind us too. It can change your life. Movement also gives you another way to deal with stress on your hard days. This is super important because a lot of you have a lot of stress. You have a lot of anxiety. One of the things that really helps me, there's two things that I have tied to movement that are very helpful. Number one is if I'm going to have a really stressful day, like if it's before, I'm Marco Polo Jane. So for me, what I've tied to movement is that is my time I talk to my best friend and we use the Marco Polo app and I will listen to her if she's left me a message and if she's not, I talk to her about what's going on for me today. So this is how we do our Marco Polos. The first thing we do is we usually do a rundown of like, well, here's what I did yesterday and here's everything I'm going to be doing today. So a lot of times we're just using it to kind of verbalize and clarify what's going on for ourselves. And then I usually talk to her about something that's bothering me, something that, or I just want to like work out of my head, something I just want to celebrate, whatever it is. For me, that gets me out the door. It gets me walking. Sometimes I do it on my treadmill, but I tie that exercise into something I enjoy and that reduces my stress. The other thing is consider, even though you've had a stressful day, for some people, having a tough workout de-stresses them. For some people, taking a walk de-stresses them. For some people, deep breathing and meditation can just de-stress them. So I want you to just think about those things. The other fun thing that I've tied to walking in particular to de-stress me is podcasts. I listen to a ton of podcasts and a ton of audiobooks. I mean, I go through more than I think any. I've already listened to probably 3 hours of self-development this morning since I've been up since 5 a.m. Yeah, 5 a.m., 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, only had 1 hour that I wasn't self-developing. I had podcasts. So I was listening to a podcast while I walked. I had a podcast while I was lifting weights. I was listening to a video while I was eating breakfast, while I was in the shower. So, Ty, like if you love self-development, if you love, I don't know, crime podcasts, whatever it is, tie it to your workouts. That is an easy way to stay motivated enough to get your ass out the door. Some people actually have like a rule. They only listen to some of their favorite stuff when they move. Like Jane does a lot of indoor biking when she's in training season throughout the week. And she's got certain shows on Netflix she only gets to watch when she does her bike rides. It's just her fun junkie shows. So think about how, ways that you can motivate yourself by tying it to things you already love. And then the last thing is, if you have a relationship with movement that you want to change, be open to using those four N's on how you're going to decide to change the relationship. So notice what comes up for you when it comes to, we're going to exercise this month. Every No BS woman's going to move some this month. What are your thoughts about it? What is it that you think about? Like, what's your knee-jerk reaction to it? Then I want you to normalize it. Why might it be normal? Like, if we went back to Corinne sitting on the couch, I noticed that my story around exercise is, yeah, but it won't be good enough. 15 minutes a day of like light walking is never going to help you lose weight. I normalized that by telling myself it would be very normal for me to think that because I'd never played sports. I had never done any kind of movement for any reason other than punishment. It would be normal for me to think that this was a weight loss tool. And if it wasn't going to be enough to lose weight, for me to not want to do it. So I really had to normalize that was just something going, like something going on in my head that was going to prevent me from getting started. And then I just neutralized it. The neutral part of it was, you're going for a walk. It's 15 minutes. That's like all that was happening. Everything else I was noticing wasn't true. We were literally just examining 15 minutes of walking. And my brain had like, you're too slow, won't be good enough. People will look at you. You should be able to do more. You should never have gotten into this situation. The rest of that was stuff I just noticed that I needed to normalize because that had nothing to do with walking. That was just the way I talked about walking. And then the last is the next best thought or action. For me, the thing that got me like out the door was telling myself, old Corinne thinks that doing something small isn't good enough. New Corinne knows she's got to do something in order to move forward. Because every time I've ever told myself something wasn't good enough, I didn't do jack shit. That's on me. That's a choice. That's a decision I keep making over and over again. I got to have a new decision about what's good enough. And my new decision about what's good enough is anything that is different than what you were doing yesterday counts. It all counts now. And I think a lot of you need to tell yourself the story of it all counts now. There's no not good enough. And that's really hard when you keep insisting, but my brain keeps thinking, I know, bitch, who gives a fuck? Why do you want to sit there and be whining about what your, but my brain keeps thinking? What else is it supposed to think if you ain't been interrupting it and telling it to think something else? It only makes sense. Of course, that's what your brain's going to think. Duh. Like, it's going to think that for probably the next, I don't know, year. If you've been spending your life as a perfectionist and thinking things aren't good enough, you do one four ends, you wake up tomorrow and your brain says it's not good enough. You're like, shock and awe. I don't know where that came from. Why the hell am I still thinking that? Get off your high horse. That thing's fixing to buck you and break your back. You got to start. The end of the day, starting is better than sitting by and wishing you could start. And most of you are going to have to start and feel like shit. Welcome to the club. The rest of us are doing it. Come on in. The water's just fine. Hell, I've built these muscles from not good enough workouts. All right. We got a couple of questions. I have a question about grams of protein. Oh my God, I can't believe you're asking me this. I hate to tell you this, Amelia. I don't measure shit. I ain't measured shit in years. at least 10 or 12. And I wasn't measuring it when I lost weight. The only time I ever measured was when I was in my bodybuilding days. Woo, I'll try to do my best. I started weightlifting a couple of months ago, and the diet mentality tells me I need to eat 1 gram of protein per body weight, which for me is around 170 grams. If I eat this much, I'm overeating. I find it hard to get enough protein. Is this a myth? Yeah, it's not a myth. Let me tell you this, Amelia. Here's the easy way to do it. And this is what I follow a lot of people online who are taking more what I would just call intuitive approach to bodybuilding and stuff. So I lift really heavy. There's probably hardly anybody in here. I don't think there's, I mean, I curl 20s like it's, you know, Pez candy. I lift pretty heavy. Let's just put it that way. This morning I was rowing 40s. Like, not 220s. I mean, 4Ds in each hand. So I feel like I'm pretty strong and I lift pretty heavy. I do not get consumed with that. What I do is that every meal, I make sure I have a good amount of protein and I build my meals around the protein. So like if we go out to eat, I know I'm going to have a steak. Then I decide the other things. If I'm going to have a salad, I figure out which salad has the most amount of protein on it first. That's just how I do it. There's even a lot of studies now that are talking about how it used to be all about timing. You need to get it in 30 minutes after a workout now. That's been totally debunked. If you look on the internet, you're going to find so much conflicting information. You really have to look for the most modern information, which has probably come out in the last 18 months. There's been some significant strides in all this, but The common sense right now is that just when you eat, make sure you have some protein in it, period. If you ever get to where you're going to do a powerlifting competition, a bodybuilding competition or something, you probably need to start weighing and measuring. The only time in my life I've ever had to do that to have muscle. In fact, I don't know if y'all know, but I've been working with the arms coach since September of last year, which none of you need, like, if y'all want to go hire Christine, please go hire her. She's got an amazing program. I love her to death. She's been working with me. But what I gave you in terms of my older workouts and everything inside the May Movement Challenge, just for your money and your bank account, is going to do you quite well. It is 12 weeks. The funny thing about lifting weights for all of you is that it's boring as fuck. You're not going to be sweat. Like, I have been notorious to switch my workouts around a lot. And what always works most for really shaping and toning is to find one plan, work the plan for like 12 to like, I don't know, 20 weeks long. Do not deviate the workout other than sometimes reps or just how much you're lifting. But you don't deviate the moves. And that's what I gave y'all. So just in terms like for me, I'm supposed to be eating at least 150 grams of protein a day. I don't know if I get there, but because I'm making sure that every meal has, like this morning I ate, I'm calling it my cottage cheese chronicles because I love the cottage cheese. I had, I just buy those containers of cottage cheese, those little ones. It's the Good Culture, I think is the name of them. It's called Good. They're blue and white. I buy the individuals. I dump that and another half of one in a bowl. And that gets me about 30 grams of protein right there. Because I think one container is 19. And then if you do a half, you're almost at 30 in one meal. I put that in a bowl with, I like Splenda. So I put some Splenda in it to sweeten the cottage cheese. I cut up a banana and I put that in there. And then I just get a scoop of peanut butter and put it on top. It's probably about 2 tablespoons of peanut butter. Like I said, I'm not a measurer. I just get a scoop that just like, all right, this looks legit. And I put that in and then I eat it. I love it. It holds me over all morning long, gets me through all my stuff. And I find it to be a great post-workout breakfast because you're getting that protein and you're getting a banana, which has some fast-acting carbs in it, which for if you're going to lift weights or do lots of cardio, you want because you want to replenish your glycogen stores and stuff. And then the peanut butter, it's, well, number one, let's just admit it's delicious. Amen. So we put the peanut butter in there for a delicious factor. And then the other thing about is putting that little bit of fat in it makes me satisfied longer. I've just found that when my meals are balanced out a little bit like that, I just feel like I don't have to eat all the time. So I learned all that through years and years and years of listening to my body and figuring out how it responds to food. And I'm like, oh, this tastes good. Plus it keeps me full longer and it supports my workouts. Boom. I got something that really works for me. I've already lost some mobility. Any stats on whether or not I can improve with further weight loss? I'm 68. Mobility can change at any time, Gail. I don't have stats. I'm never going to be the one that has stats. One thing you may want to do if you've lost mobility is you could look into hiring. I've suggested my mom to do this, to hire a physical therapist. And like if your insurance will cover it or whatever, but just try to figure out if you can get with a physical therapist to give you some mobility exercises and to work with you on, like strengthening some of those like accessory muscles and tissues. I've told my mom several times to just practice holding on in the kitchen, that if she goes in there and like maybe she's waiting on her coffee to brew or she's waiting on the microwave, to just hold on to the counter, because my mom has terrible feet. They are totally collapsed. She was born with deformed feet. Like, Mamie got like all of the balance issues. And to just practice raising one foot slightly off the ground so that her body and her mind have to get used to slight movements that her body and mind aren't used to. And that will help her with trips and falls and stuff. I would just never hold on to the thought, well, I need stats to know if I can improve my mobility. What if we just are like, I've just decided to go all in to see how much mobility I can get at my age. Let's try that. How do you handle getting movement? Getting in movement when you have an injury, pulled a hammy, now beginning PT. So PT counts as movement, number one. Any tips on managing my mind? Yeah, just say PT now counts. I just talked about this, Harry. It is the same as when I had my plastic surgeries. I scheduled time on my calendar every single day that said this is when like movement, and I would have 15 minutes. Some days that exercise slot was filled with just upper body stretches so I could come back stronger. Some days it was meditating and deep breathing, like learning how to take really good deep breaths and stuff so that when I went back to exercise, that my lungs were used to pulling in air and getting rid of the air. If you you can ask them, are there any upper body moves that you can do with resistance bands in the meantime? So that when you go back to regular movement, especially if you're going to be lifting weights, one of the things that I've done in the past is do like what the last person was talking about, doing a lot of small exercises like this with no weights to strengthen all the little, like y'all, your shoulders are the most unstable joint you have. It is amazing. More of us don't like throw our shoulders out and stuff. Like it's crazy how unstable the shoulder is. And for your shoulder, you want to make sure that you're strengthening the tiny muscles around it. Most of us don't. So for me, I work shoulders. I'm, pressing. I'm doing these. I'm doing these. I'm doing rows. Like I'm doing stuff, but I'm not really working on the full range of motion and stuff. But you need to. So I actually try to at least a couple times a week when I finish doing my shoulder day, I do like easy movements that help strengthen those tiny little muscles so that I don't have to have shoulder replacement like my mother and my brother. Like I don't want to have to do all that stuff one day. So like for you, it's like, what are these other things that I tend to neglect? Because if you pulled a hamstring there, maybe you're a runner. Like if you're a runner, you tend to only run. If you're a biker, you tend to just like biking, and we don't do a lot of the other stuff. It's like there are probably other things that would support our fitness that we can be doing during that time that a lot of times we poo-poo on, but we should be doing. So try seeing if you can figure out some stuff like that. Does it matter if you don't eat before your workout in the morning? I never eat before workout, Mandy. I have not ate before workouts for years. I mean, God, probably 15 years now, I don't do well eating before workout. If I ever have to work out in the afternoon, it's really hard for me because I can feel every ounce of food I've ate that day. So I always work out in a fasted state. I just like it. I don't like burping food. I don't like tasting food, but that's what happens for me when I work out if I've ate. Sometimes I'm just not hungry and you tell us to then not eat. And that makes no BS sense, but research says to eat something. Research doesn't say to eat something beforehand. Research is conflicted on it, Mandy. There is research for and against it. Most of the time, the research for eating before a workout has to do with, number one, if you work out better eating before a workout and it actually gives you energy, you should. Some people's bodies work out harder and more efficiently in a fasted state. It's like they have more energy for it. That is dependent upon the person. The other thing research shows is that unless you're going to be training for well over an hour, your body, your liver, your muscles have plenty of glycogen stores to carry you through an hour's worth of exercise before it even really starts tapping into muscle or other energy sources in your body. I currently work out with a personal trainer once a week for an hour. She kicks my ass and I love every minute of it. In the past, I've done gym workouts several times a week. These days, I'm only doing the sessions with a trainer and struggling to do even a 10-minute walk on other days. About two times a month, I go to the gym outside of training. I'd like to start doing more gym workouts because I love it, but I don't know how to make this doable. I don't think you love it. I think the one thing you need to tell yourself is right now, I don't love working out in the gym. Because if you really loved working out in the gym, where would you be? Working out in the gym. I always love it how we say, but I love it. I'm just not doing it. How do I make it more doable? Well, first of all, you got to quit telling yourself that you love it. You got to tell yourself the truth. Why don't I want to go? What are the excuses I'm telling myself? Because if I was in love with it, I'd override every excuse. None of them would even make sense if they'd even come up, right? You might love it. The truth might be, I love it once I've gotten started and I see results and all these other things, but we want to tell ourselves the truth about it right now. And I need a part thing. You're just like, I don't love going right now. So I do need to make it doable because my brain's going to bitch and I'm not going to want to go. For some reason, I'll go to the trainer, but I won't go to for the gym. I wonder what the difference is. Just ask your brain. Sometimes our brain will say like, well, because I'm paying her. Or if yours is like, I love the way she kicks my ass. All right. Then you need to ask yourself, like, do I need to kick my ass on the other days? Like, what's going on for me? We already answered that one. All right, y'all. That's it for today. I hope y'all have a good one. I will be here this Sunday. Thank you for, I was traveling last Sunday. I thought I would be home. I wasn't. I did not feel good about trying to come in after I went to the Derby on Saturday with a friend of mine, and we got up real early to come back. And I was like, I knew that I wasn't going to be 100%. So you got Coach MJ, which is always fabulous anyway, but I will be here this Sunday and we will do some coaching and all the things. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.